When I made my first communion 60 years ago, our class prepared for it by memorizing parts of the Baltimore Catechism. Now, I can't tell you any of the answers to the questions that I memorized back then. I never saw much reason to just memorize facts, although I do have a mind that remembers commercials and jingles. I was always more interested in the reason for doing or not doing something. My favorite question from my parents was, why? In our classes 60 years ago, there was no emphasis on the Bible. We knew we heard the Bible at Mass every Sunday. Everything we needed to know to be good Catholics was in the Catechism. Little did I know that the leadership of the Church was meeting in the Vatican at that time to review how our faith is passed on. The very first document promulgated by the Second Vatican Council is entitled Dei Verbum, which literally is the Word of God, the dogmatic constitution on divine revelation. We'll be celebrating the 60th anniversary of this document on November 18th of this year. The Council recognized the importance of the Word of God that by hearing the message of salvation, the whole world may believe, that by believing, it may hope, and by hoping, it may love. Another outcome of the Vatican Council was the revision of the Catechism itself. The typical Latin edition was released in 1997. It has a major section on divine revelation and interpretation of the Bible. The Catechism establishes three criteria for authentic biblical interpretation. First, we have to be especially attentive to the content and unity of the whole Scripture. Second, read the Scripture within the living tradition of the whole Church. Third, be attentive to the analogy of faith, the coherence of the truths of faith among themselves and within the whole plan of revelation. That one can be simplified as just asking the Holy Spirit for inspiration when reading the Scripture. Our gospel today provides the perfect example for the need for these three criteria. We all know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In his acts of healing, he tells the person to go in peace. The night before his death, he tells his apostles, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." Yet today he declares, "Do you think I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Is Jesus contradicting everything we know about him? Following the guidance in the Catechism will help us to sort this out. What does the Catechism, the living tradition of the Church, say about this passage? In paragraph 696, it describes the character of the Holy Spirit in fire. Jesus will say of the Spirit, "I came to cast fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled." Fire symbolizes the transforming energy of the Holy Spirit's actions. The fire of the Holy Spirit transforms whatever it touches. John the Baptist proclaims Christ as the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Jesus is reminding all of us who are baptized that we are meant to be on fire in our love for God and one another. We must be actively working for the transformation of the world in which we live. In the gospel today, Jesus says, "There is a baptism with which I must be baptized. How great is my anguish until it is accomplished." He is not speaking here of his baptism with water, which he had already received, but a baptism accomplished through his death and resurrection. He's preparing his disciples for the time in the near future when their whole world will be rocked by his public execution. After his resurrection, he appeared to two disciples who are returning home to Emmaus. This encounter caused the two disciples to say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the Scriptures to us?" Now we will look at the unity of Scripture by considering our first reading today from the prophet Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is preaching to the people of Jerusalem at a time when there are multiple waves being taken away for exile in Babylon. In the first chapter of Jeremiah, God tells him, "Today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to demolish, to build and to plant." And how much does that sound like what Jesus was sent to do? God's message through Jeremiah is for the people in Jerusalem to surrender to the Babylonians in order to live. That message is not received well by the leadership in Jerusalem. Rather than trust in God, they are trying to make alliances with Egypt and Assyria. In this way, they are setting these other leadership as idols. And that leads to today's action, where a group of these leaders has gotten permission from the king to put Jeremiah into a cistern where he's going to be left to die. But it takes a Gentile who is part of the king's court to ask him to bring Jeremiah up out of the cistern. Jeremiah and Jesus are giving us the same message. Trust in God to give us what we need to live faithfully and courageously. Looking again at our living tradition, we look to the example of church fathers, those who wrote in their own times about the challenges provided trying to understand God's revelation through Scripture. One of those is St. Ambrose, who was a bishop of Milan and the teacher of St. Augustine. In his exposition on the Gospel of Luke, he writes about this section today. "It is necessary that we should esteem the human less than the divine. If honor is to be paid to parents, how much more to the parents' creator? If they by no means recognize their father in heaven, how do you recognize them, that is, the parents?" Jesus does not say children should reject a father, but that God is to be set before all. In St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." You are not forbidden to love your parents, but you are forbidden to prefer them to God. In that way, they're being set up as idols. And then finally, Ambrose tells, "Parents, love your children, but remember that no one loves them more than God." St. Ambrose, like Jeremiah, warns us not to allow the things of this world to become idols. Our priority must always remain in our love for God. As we heard in our second reading, let us rid ourselves of every burden that clings to us and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus became one of us to set our hearts on fire, to keep our trust in God, and to love God in all things and above all things.